This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, November 8th, 2024. And it is another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, listening on the app or by podcast or watching us on social media, we thank you very much for starting your day and wrapping up your week right here. I've got a question for you. Are you ready for a break? Because I am. There was a time prior to Tuesday when folks looked at the calendar at work and saw that I had decided to take a vacation a week the week after the election. And people thought, well, that's not a good move because we may not know the winner. And if we know the winner, you'll miss a week of shows talking about what's coming up. You know, what will the Harris administration do, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we do know who won. And as a result, I now look like the smartest person in the world for taking next week and saying that's my week to decompress. Because frankly, the way things were looking, remember 2000? The election wasn't resolved until, you know, almost mid-December. So we never really knew what was happening, but we know that everybody needs to take a break. And we've been saying that a lot, even before the results came in. You've heard that a lot since Tuesday. People, we got to take a break, go touch some grass, you know, get some fresh air, reconnect with friends. All that's very important. I just happened to pick the following week to do that. And as a result, you're going to have some great folks in here next week. Todd Alba is going to do double duty on Monday and Tuesday. Matt Rothschild is coming in to guest host on Wednesday and Thursday. Luke Mathers on Friday. So we've got you covered for live programming with news and information. And then I will be back the following Monday to get things going. We're already lining up guests, looking ahead to 2025. And to talk about where we all go from here. Coming up on the program this morning, Kiev Akil, Courier Newsroom national correspondent. It's not that voters in the U.S. aren't special, but it turns out that American voters are just like voters in every other democracy around the world this year. We'll discuss exactly what that common bond is. Also, we will talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the impact of Donald Trump's victory from the crumbling of the investigations into election interference and classified documents to the ways that Trump will try to use executive orders to essentially be the day one dictator he's always promised. Mark Jacob reviews media coverage of election night and what led up to it. And we get a special guest, a brief visit with Kirk Bangsted to reveal the new flagship beer for the Minocqua Brewing Company in light of recent events. All that and much more is coming up yet on this Friday morning. And you can join us along the way at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can put a comment in the comment section on Facebook or YouTube. We'll see the comments there. Maybe put them up on screen. And, of course, there's always the Civic Media app where you can call or text us as well. Bus stop temperatures at 6 a.m. across Wisconsin look like this. It's 39 here on Lake Wissota, 30 in Hayward, 39 in Wausau. La Crosse is at 46, Amory 36, Wisconsin Rapids 38, Green Bay 40. Madison 43, Waukesha's at 39, and at Radio Park in Racine, it's 42 degrees, where we find Greg Bach resplendent in a Civic Media t-shirt and prepared for a weekend of hijinks and comedy at a place called The Laughing Tap, because everybody needs a laugh this week. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Hello, Pat.
He's so ready to be done with the week.
So ready for comedy.
Yes.
Yeah, we got three shows this weekend at the Laughing Tap. One tonight, two tomorrow, 7:30 tonight, 7:30 tomorrow, and 10 p.m. on Saturday tomorrow night. Laura Peake will be on the show. She'll be headlining. Sorry, my brain is oatmeal right now.
I understand.
No, yes. Yeah, so Laura Peake will be headlining. She was actually just on, I think, either last night or the night before on After Midnight. And she's done a bunch of other things, been on Comedy Central. She'll be coming through and doing three shows. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are still available. $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums. Come down. We can laugh. We can cry. We can hug with your consent. And we can have a good time this weekend. Yeah, we're
always,
looking forward.
Always good to get that consent.
Consent is key, everybody. That consent is key. yeah, we're going to have a good time. It will be an interesting weekend, what will be talked about, what the mood will be like. But honestly, it's, I don't know about you, Pat, but even though everything's comes crashing down to what's happening, those pockets of laughter we're having in, in these moments, those when you can just get into a room with like-minded people or just people looking to forget for a moment and have fun, that is worth it and a great time. So we're looking forward to it, and we hope everyone can join us this weekend.
I hope they can, too. I think it would be very much worth it. Look, there's no one right way to process what's happened this week. Just on the late-night shows alone, based on the clips that I've seen, you had Jimmy Kimmel practically weepy talking about the people who are going to be affected. But you also had Stephen Colbert saying, oh, people are telling you, God, how can you do a show? You have to do a show after this. And he says, no, 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 I get to do a show. And that, you know, we need to be together and look for ways to laugh and to look out for one another and to help each other. And Seth Meyers said somebody told him, well, you must be really happy because Trump will give you, you know, just so much material to work with. And his response was, no, that's really not how I feel at all. Somebody who cleans bathrooms for a living doesn't find out that somebody's got explosive diarrhea and they go, oh, hey, you got a lot of material to work with there, which is maybe not proper material for early morning radio, but you get where I'm coming from on this.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Everyone listening, you know, if you know, when it comes to comedy, it's good to have sources, but in this situation, and the same thing happened with George W. Bush back in the day too, is we would happily not, we'd happily trade it to not have to, I mean, no one has to write about it, like as far as comedians either. Like it's not a win for our, for my industry. It's In fact, if anything, the problem is that there was already people coming through comedy clubs being very, very terse and being very interruptive about their feelings. And I don't know if it will get worse in the coming 4 years because now they've been given license to do what they want. So, but still come down. Hey, folks.
LaughingTap.com.
Yeah.
Alicia writes in, person who cleans bathrooms for a living. I concur.
Yep.
Thank you, Alicia. Appreciate that very much. Tony chiming in from Ashland. Yesterday, Greg said he would wear a Brewer shirt every day, but today, Pat sticking with the nice red flannel. Well, you know, I got a thing.
Man, Tony, did I say I would? I don't remember. Tony is really Johnny on the spot and also just, you know, keeping me wardrobe savvy. So.
Yeah.
People want to send me Brewers t-shirts, I'll take them.
We'll take any merch at this point, you know?
Yeah.
That would be kind of nice. Let's see. Let's also let you know that speaking of Matt Rothschild, who's going to be filling in here next Wednesday, Thursday, you can join Matt for a weekly dive into a topic on a new podcast from Civic Media. Get some background on how Wisconsin got where it is today, what folks are working on now, and possible ways forward on the various issues of the day. The podcast is called Wisconsin Forward, and you can catch it wherever you listen to podcasts or check out more at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Also on the Civic Media website is Dan Schaefer's recap of Tuesday's elections, especially for seats in the Wisconsin legislature. After all, this was the guy who went through and reviewed all 115 legislative races that were on ballots this week. And so he takes a look at the winners and the losers and the balance of power that results from it. Also, let me, I should have noted from the outset, I too am aware of what I sound like today. And I heard Todd Alba talking about it on his show yesterday. And it just seems, it's one of a couple of different things. Either the folks at Civic Media should just never get in a room together, because it feels like every time there's been a company function, some folks come away with the sniffles or something like that. Or it's me. And because I now work entirely from home, I do the radio show from home, you know, about once a week or so, Sherry pushes me out the door and says, go get some fresh air. Maybe I need to stay in this bubble. Maybe I no longer have the immune system to deal with the general public and go places like I did to Madison this week. Hopefully it's just a little thing, because I swear to God, if I'm starting a week off and I'm about to be sick through summer, all of it, I'm not going to be a happy man at all. It is 6:16. Let's check on sports here just very quickly to note. The Bucks have snapped the losing streak. Damian Lillard scored 34 points. Giannis scored 31 and had 16 rebounds. And the Bucks beat the Utah Jazz 123-100 on Thursday night. So the Bucks are now 2-6 on the season. They traveled right to Boston. They'll be there tonight to face the Celtics. Then they are back home on Sunday afternoon to host. You know what? Let me double check that. I may have misspoken. I think they're not in Boston. I think they're in New York taking on the Knicks. Yes, I typed that incorrectly at first. They are in New York tonight to play the Knicks, 6:30 tip-off, and then Sunday they're at home hosting the Boston Celtics. That Sunday afternoon game is at 2:30. Got some Badger sports to tell you about as well, things that you can find on the Civic Media Radio Network, and that would be basketball. The Badger men won their game against Montana State last evening. They are in action again Sunday afternoon against Appalachian State. Coverage begins Sunday at 10 a.m., on Civic Media stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. And the Badger men's hockey team hosts the Minnesota Gophers this evening at 6:30 and tomorrow at 5:30 on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And you can also catch that on the Civic Media app. Plus, no shortage of high school sports that you can hear on stations across the Civic Media radio network and on the app as well. So give that, if you haven't downloaded it yet, you really, really should. There's just so, it's so easy to listen to all the different shows and learn more about Civic Media and the stations and the programs, because not every station has the same thing on at the same time. Others do, like, you know, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. He's going to be joining us in the next hour to talk about Amicus, a law review, as we go over some of those issues that surround the results of the presidential election. All right, we're going to unpack some more of today's headlines coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Bonnie Raitt has a birthday today. We'll talk more about her and everything else in today's history lesson coming up in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. Greg, is it too early? I mean, we're just off the election, and I see that already a couple of radio stations are playing Christmas music. Too soon?
I'm glad you asked that question, Pat. Matt and Air on Air, available Civic Media Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon with Jane Matt and Air and myself. Mm-hmm. We have a segment at the end of the show called This Shouldn't Be a Thing, and we did cover that, I think, this week. Everything's a blur. Time is an illusion. But yeah, we talked about that. And Jane was definitely in the – and remember something too, folks. Jane has been in radio for a very long time, and she's been through the – when the Halloween lights come down, the Christmas lights go up, and we're playing Christmas music until the new year. So I can totally understand why that would be too much. But for me personally, I don't mind it because I enjoy Christmas music. So I'm here for it.
I think part of it, too, is that it gives it, not to take anything away from Christmas and the significance of it.
Pat Krylo hates Christmas.
That's what people are going to say when I go. I think it's a way to cope with winter itself. Mm. That, you know, that it makes winter, the harshness, a little shorter. It just, things get so bleak.
Yeah.
When Christmas is done, the lights come down and it's dark and it's cold. And so anything that helps make the season feel a little warmer, if that means talking about all the goodness of the holiday, then that's a really good thing. So
I think we need it even more so this year too, I would
you're
say.
Saying we need a little Christmas this very minute?
I'm saying we need a little more joy and sharing and happiness. We're going to need to share that with each other over the next couple months into the next 300 years. I have no idea.
Joy. We need more joy.
We need more joy.
Need more joy, which gets us into the notion in talking this week about the campaign and, you know, what happened to the campaign of joy, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and they were joyful and meanwhile they were calling Donald Trump weird and unstable and unhinged. And there are people who were kind of bothered by the tone of the speeches from Kamala Harris and from President Joe Biden this week when they were trying to reassure folks that things will be okay. And you have to understand what a tightrope that is. Because if you say things are going to be okay, then some folks are saying in response, well, wait, you said it wasn't going to be okay. You said he's unstable. He's unhinged. Were you lying the whole time? No, they weren't doing that. By the same token, if you're using your reaction to do nothing but relitigate the campaign, you look like a whiner. And so you have to strike that balance of saying we're respecting the election results. And I thought the vice president said it well, like we concede the election, we do not concede the fight. And we just have to continue doing what we're doing. And that is fighting for, you know, people who are, you know, working families, fighting for the marginalized and in, vulnerable situations. But there has been a lot of blame to go around. There's been people blaming President Biden for not dropping out soon enough. There are people blaming those who pushed Joe Biden to drop out of the race. There are people blaming Vice President Harris for playing it too safe after the debate, basically the last month of the campaign. She crushed Trump in the debates, and some say she started playing it too safe and that she lost a lot of that economic populism about, you know, corporate America gouging consumers, and you didn't hear as much about that maybe they were coasting a little bit. You cannot deny that racism and sexism played a role for some voters. That's, I mean, and anybody that recoils at that notion, that might be you, because you can't deny that once again, when you have problems with a woman and then a black woman getting elected and underperforming every other Democrat on the ballot in most instances, there's something there. What really bugs me in the category of sexism are what I'm going to call the bro flakes. These are one of the criticisms I've heard the past couple of days is, well, you call us Nazis and you call us fascists and you call us, you know, all these names. And I mean, how can you think that won't have a backlash? Dude, this is not a chicken and egg situation where we don't know who is calling who names first. We know who it was. We know it's the one that has flags that say F your feelings on it. I mean, you guys are the root of name calling in this. You can be opposed to things, but the let's go Brandon stuff started really early over here. Okay. Now that's just on the name calling. When you get to the labels like fascism, again, we've already gone through this. If you don't want to be described as fascist or tiptoeing around fascism, then don't do the things and don't espouse the things that make us worry that you might be fascist. We're going to be watching on the afternoon of January 20th very closely, because President Trump, President-elect Trump, said plenty of times he's going to be a dictator on day one. What he meant by that is the things that he can do with the stroke of a pen through executive order, he's going to do. And I don't think we're going to have like one or two of them for symbolic purposes. I think he's going to take the oath of office. He's going to deliver a blistering inaugural address. People say, and give him a chance to bring the country together. He is not. Okay. Look, I'm going to be open. If he says the right words, that's fine. But then he's got to follow it up with deeds. I'm not going to judge this guy on his inaugural address. But what does he do in the hours afterwards that are going to be very key? And so, again, if you don't want to hear a discussion about fascism, that's not name-calling. That is an actual policy discussion. And then the last one under all of the categories of who's to blame, I just keep coming back to that right-wing media ecosystem that's out there and how toxic it is. I would point to one poll that asked voters factual questions about inflation, crime, and immigration. The people who answered those questions incorrectly were more likely to vote for Trump, and the ones who answered factual questions correctly preferred Vice President Harris. And why were they incorrect? Again, that's not subjective, it's objective. Why were they wrong? You have a right-wing media system that's pounding them relentlessly. And it's why we are just getting started at Up North News and Civic Media. Kiev Akil is next.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Okay, we're back. What do you say we bring this weekend for a landing and a visit with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil, a bit about the issues of the week behind the election, some more of the results from it, and then we can really carry on and get to what's next. Kia, hello, how are you?
I am all right, Pat. How are you?
I'm all right as well. Like I said, we're at the end of the week and we can only do so much more with this. Otherwise it gets rightly referred to as navel gazing, and we don't want to do that. But here's where I want to start, simply because it was a word that hit me early on and I tried to rail against it, and ultimately with the word being vibes. Yep. It was a vibes election. We can talk later how those vibes came to be, whether they were based on fact or fiction. But it is safe to say that Dems need to figure out vibes. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I'm struck by is, well, two things. One, pretty much the world over, any country that had an election this year, in a democratic country, the incumbent either lost, the person who's been the incumbent during the post-COVID era either lost or their party lost a lot of seats. And what that tells me is that the vibes all around the world are just bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting that's the first time that has happened since World War II. That every major democracy, the ruling party either lost power or lost share of power. So when we talked about inflation actually being a global thing, not a Biden thing, the same goes for how the electorate feels around the world. We're just finally joining the rest of the class.
Yeah. And I think if you zoom out from like our day-to-day political discussions and think about the pandemic and just the absolute upheaval it caused, I think we don't give that enough credit for just how much it's affecting daily life still and political life. There are all sorts of people dealing with long COVID, the psychological long-term toll of just that year being, traumatic. I don't know if you've driven in any city roads recently, but there's road rage everywhere. Like, just that has had an impact. Inflation all around the world. People do not like higher prices. We have learned that. And again, these are global phenomenons. And I think there's just very much like a throw the bums out, like, so to speak, to leaders right now. It doesn't matter what party you're in. There are one or two examples of people defying that trend, in Mexico, notably. But in general, there has just been a wave of anger towards people who've overseen the last 3 to 4 years. And some of that's justified. Some of it's just bad luck for the people who happen to be in office at that time. Some of it, you know, is vibes. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of conversations to be had and will be had in the Democratic Party. And I also think, and should be had, frankly, there are things that are a very fair game for criticism and how campaigns were run this year. But a lot of it is just a bad political environment for whoever's in charge, and that happen to be Democrats. And I don't, unfortunately, think the Biden administration particularly did the best job of trying to push back on to deal with the problems.
Yeah, no, as we talked about with Joe Zepecki yesterday, it's an entirely different conversation, talking the difference between passing good policy and talking about policy, which kind of gets you to the vibe, how people feel, especially when maybe you did some good things, but it's not instant gratification. It's, you know, these things take time to set in. And if you're not remembering that, then you're not going to get proper credit at election time. You've got to do things in the short term as well as the long term. And like I said, there's going to be a million conversations about this. The outgoing president spoke about the need for mutual respect. You had a gracious concession speech from Vice President Harris. And you've not had Democrats in the streets with torches and pitchforks, you know, saying that this has all been a big fraudulent election. So in that sense, in that purely textbook sense, democracy actually took a step forward because of, you know, the way the losses have been handled.
Yeah. I mean, I was prepared. I think we all at Courier were prepared to spend the next 2 months, even in a world where Trump had won, like very narrowly won. We were preparing for a lot of coverage of like lawsuits and all this other stuff, certainly if he lost. And because Democrats are willing to admit defeat when they lose at the hands of voters, we're not dealing with that. And that's how it should be. Like 2022, we didn't really deal with that. It's only when Trump loses. And that is alarming. Like, and I hope that we don't see that anymore, where in 2028, the Republican candidate for president loses. Concede defeat, for the love of God. The system works. You know, the Democratic vote counting process works. And, you know, they're never going to admit that it was nonsense the way they claimed fraud after 2020. They're never going to admit that, you know, Trump was full of it and lying and lost, but they should. That's what happened. He won this time. If Democrats were going to rig it, if the media was going to rig it, if poll workers were going to rig it in 2020, why wouldn't they have rigged it this time? It's just nonsense. And so Joe Biden is right. Kamala Harris is right about that. You know, the process worked. Democrats lost. Republicans won. Sometime again, Republicans will lose, and admitting defeat is part of that.
Yeah. I mean, even when you are defeated on, again, coming back to this notion of there's still a lot of people out there that want to either claim or pretend that 2020 featured fraud. But again, yeah. Democracy took a step forward in that sense. Let's talk about some winners and losers, just things that we might have missed outside of Wisconsin. So let's start with other victories. Tammy Baldwin, of course, winning in a state where Donald Trump also won. But as you look around the rest of the country, what are some of the other noteworthy victories?
Yeah, I mean, the Senate Democrats in swing states, largely like Tammy Baldwin, overperforming and winning, is a story that the polls showed what might happen this year and did happen. You have Alyssa Slotkin winning in Michigan. You have Jackie Rosen, who's pretty much on lock to win in Nevada. Ruben Gallego is running far ahead of Harris in Arizona, and he's going to win. It looks like Bob Casey will lose just narrowly in Pennsylvania, but that is not official yet. So that is one story where you're seeing Senate Democrats do quite well. The only states they've lost right now
officially are Montana, Ohio, and West Virginia, which are red states at this point. So there has not been a single swing state where a Democrat running statewide has lost a major election this year. And so that might happen when Casey's race is called, but that is something that stands out to me because it shows that this is not a universal rejection of Democrats. It is a very specific, to put it frankly, rejection of Biden slash Harris. And that's unfortunate, but it's not doom and gloom for Democrats forever.
So you're trying to tell me as well that in North Carolina, the self-described black Nazi did not get elected governor?
He did not. He got his clock cleaned, as everyone expected. And not only did he lose, the Republican nominee for attorney general, who is not nearly as extreme as Mark Robinson, but it's not far off. He is an election denier. He was anti-abortion, anti-LGBTQ. Dan Bishop, he lost the race for attorney general there. We had their, you know, really far right anti-public school candidate for position that leads public schools in North Carolina. They lost. So there are bright spots. You know, Nevada's three competitive congressional races, the Democratic incumbents all won. You're seeing a lot, like Missouri legalized abortion, restored abortion rights. Florida would have if it was a Democratic state that didn't require 60% approval to pass amendments. So there are things out there to look at and be, oh, like that's a positive outcome. It's just the top of the ticket. And, you know, unfortunately, Senate map was really rough for Democrats.
Yeah. And we knew that going in. And that's where you see, John Tester losing in Montana, Sherrod Brown losing in Ohio, who always struck me in kind of a Russ Feingold way where Republicans would go, well, I probably disagree with a lot of his stuff, but he's you know, working hard to be a good public servant. And I think that served him well for a while, but definitely not in this particular environment. And if I read right, the Republican that beat him is just basically, a car salesman who's been known for, you know, being fraudulent with customers. So it seems to be on brand, unfortunately. So you've got the Senate switching to Republican control, and it's still too early to really know what's happening with the House, right?
It is too early. You would rather be Republicans right now, I think, looking at the numbers and the races. But it's too early. But the odds suggest they are likely to retain their majority by similar margins to what they have now. They might expand it very, very narrowly, a seat or two. But it's not going to be some major gain for either party. If Democrats win control, it'll just be, maybe by one or two seats. So we'll know more when, California and Arizona are still counting a lot of votes, Washington still counting votes, or like the Western states that heavily vote by mail. So it's going to take potentially a week or two to fully know, but you'd rather be the Republicans right now.
Let me make this prediction, and I wouldn't necessarily put money on it, but if Republicans take the House, however small the majority, but it is a Republican House or Republican Senate and a Republican in the White House. My prediction is that Republicans, especially since Mitch McConnell won't be the leader anymore, they're going to get rid of the filibuster. They're going to get rid of any chance that Democrats, will filibuster and they need 60 votes to get anything done. Basically, the thing that a lot of us Democrats said some years back, it's like, get rid of that thing. And of course, didn't. They wanted to play by the rules and norms and everything. And Republicans are liable to just blow it up and say, those norms don't matter. We're going to do everything with 52 votes or whatever it is that they end up having. Feel free to disagree with me, but I fear that's what's going to take place.
This is an interesting moment where I'm going to be the more optimistic person in the room and actually disagree with you. I think, let me explain why. I don't think they would preserve it for good reasons, that like they actually care about institutions or whatnot. I think, frankly, the only policy they really care to pass is a corporate tax cut, and they can do, or for the super rich, they've already talked about it, that's their first thing in the first 100 days. And they can do that through reconciliation, which only requires 50 votes, 51 votes. So, I could be wrong. I would never put it past congressional Republicans or Donald Trump to not try to end the filibuster. But my immediate instinct is they're going to just do what they do. And if they want to try to repeal some of the Biden era spending laws, they can also do that through reconciliation. And a lot of what they want to get done of like gutting labor productions, they can do through regulations. I think they'll keep the filibuster because they know at some point Democrats will take charge again, and the filibuster protects Republicans from progressive policy.
Yeah, no, it's a very fair point to make, and we'll see what eventually happens here come January. So I wanted to close on whatever positive note you want to bring here, and I'll put it to you this way. What did you like most about covering the 2024 elections?
It's interesting. There's a lot I didn't like. So
I thought you were going to give me the cliche, you know, the friends we made along the way or something like that.
So for me, this is my second presidential election covering it in some fashion. And I'll be totally honest, 2020 is a blur in my head that I could not tell you what happened between the months of June and November. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it was the pandemic, and that was just a miserable, horrible year. And, you know, there were no campaign events. Everything was on Zoom. It was, and so this cycle having events and reporters and rallies and crowds and, you know, different sorts of, you know, chaotic developments. I feel like I covered the full scope of this political spectrum of what could happen in a presidential year. You know, we had a lot happen, different candidates coming in and out. But ultimately, honestly, I think it was like working with reporters and just all the work we did talking to normal people at rallies and events and, you know, the optimism and the hope they had, some of which has been quashed, but some of which will linger. I think that's what I'll remember.
Yeah, there was a very concerted effort, as there is at Courier Newsroom, to try to bring news to places where people aren't normally looking for news. And TikTok was definitely one of those platforms. And we made such an effort to flood TikTok with the voices of regular voters about what was important to them. And you're right, that was a very enjoyable thing to work with our reporters here in Wisconsin and you with the reporters nationally. And so I think it's only right that we end on that positive note to keep trying to bring those voices to folks out there in the internet sphere, the Twitterverse, as it were. Kia Vakil, thank you so much for everything. Greatly appreciate it. Hope you have a very restful weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Nick of Time is just one of my favorite albums. Here's the title track off that.
You know, Pat, there's a lot of artists who came out in the 70s who had like raw rock and roll sounds. And
yeah,
when they did their 80s output, it could get milk, like watered down. Like, you're like, ugh, this is not the band I liked 10 years ago.
Right.
Even with this very 80s background, her voice still cuts through with that, just that, oh, that bluesy tone.
Mm-hmm. It is, I want to say 1992, so you got that 80s influence on there.
Yeah.
It holds up. I still listen to this album front to back, if I'm on a car ride or something. Bonnie Raitt is 74 years old today. Happy birthday to her. This one's weird. Gordon Ramsay, the very angry chef, is 58. Which means he's younger than me. I would not have picked that. You know, another one like that, 58 or 59, Boris Johnson. Remember the old prime minister? I look at these guys, I'm like, you guys are younger than me? I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm saying you guys were ridden hard and put away wet. You know, that just...
The lives of chefs, man, that's hardcore life right
there. Oh, gosh, yes. Yes,
and Boris Johnson's just evil. That's what that does to you, so...
That could be it. What does Tony say here? Rage keeps him young. Oh, yeah. I know some people who will never die then, you know, at that point. So happy birthday, Gordon Ramsay. Looking good, man. 58 years old today. Ricky Lee Jones is 70 years old today.
Ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba. I expect Leon Redbone to be in the back going,
might be for all you know. Ricky Lee Jones, 70 today. We're doing melancholy election history this week, apparently, because it was on this day in 2016 that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote.
What?
But lost to a guy named Donald Trump. I know. I don't have to read everything in the history. Sometimes I do anyway.
Yeah, thanks.
Cancer took away this person way too soon. Minnie Riperton was born this day in 1947. She passed away in 1979 and left behind a very young daughter that you now know as Maya Rudolph, who played Kamala Harris in all the Saturday Night Live skits this fall. On this day in 1967, Nilsson recorded a song that would later be heard in the movie Midnight Cowboy.
Oh, God. That guitar intro.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question.
Yes.
You've referred to, and I see the album cover here, called Nilsson.
Yeah.
Was Nilsson the band, or did he just call himself Nilsson?
That's a great question.
Welcome to the history and quizzery.
I'm just going to go with Harry Nilsson, and that for some reason he didn't put Harry on there.
Okay, fair. Perfect.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
All right. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. That's the correction line. Midnight Cowboy, the only X-rated film to win the Oscar for Best Picture. On this day in 1969, the number one song was by The Fifth Dimension. And I play it mostly, I will look for any reason to play Marilyn McCoo. I just love her voice. Fifth Dimension had the number one song this day in 1969. There weren't a lot of birthdays today. I had to reach way back to tell you that on this day in 1836, Milton Bradley, who founded, conveniently enough, the Milton Bradley Company, which gave us all kinds of board games.
When I was little, I thought the name was Milt and Bradley. Like, it was a guy named Milt and a guy named Bradley.
Nope, just one guy, and he loved his board games. 1836. SZA, the singer, is 34 years old today. Kind of wish now that I could look back at all my history notes here, because this is SZA. Yeah. And was it Sia whose birthday? And I mispronounced her name earlier this year. I got the two of them mixed up.
Well, you also thought Iron Maiden was Metallica, Pat. Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, duh. SZA was born Solana Rowe in St. Louis. She studied marine biology and then held down a series of odd jobs before making it big as a singer-songwriter. And again, she's 34 years old today. This is National Cappuccino Day.
Oh.
Oh, la-di-da. This is STEAM Day for Science, Technology, Education, Math, Education Day. This is World Radiology Day, which when Sherry was going through med school and residency and you explore all these different areas that you could specialize in, some people know what they want to be right away. Others, they go through all the rotations.
Yeah.
And I remember her coming out of the radiology one saying, wow, you know, this what you basically you sit in a room and you look through all these things. You look at the x-rays and you look at whatever. And what am I seeing here? And you have to identify it. And she loved the idea, but it's so much desk work that she's like, I got to be doing a little bit more. So sure, OBGYN, there's nothing desk job about that, you know. Couldn't have gone more opposite.
Yeah.
And this is, but again, they do wonderful work. You could not possibly get through life without them in the sphere now. And this is World Pianist Day. So you piano players with good enunciation, happy Pianist Day to you. Kirk Bankstead, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Dan Schumacher, all coming up next in the second hour of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.